never forget a few years ago reading the story of a young man by the name of Butch O'Hara from a publication that I subscribed to. It was the story of this young fighter pilot who was a highly decorated fighter pilot from the Second World War. The story went on to say that he received, as the first aviator, the Medal of Honor from the President of the United States. He was an incredible soldier. A year after he received that Medal of Honor, some of the news came out and the story broke that really provided a story behind the story. And it was the story of a man that would take you back in time to Chicago during the Roaring Twenties. It was a fast time, and a man named Artful Eddie, nicknamed that. He was one of the associates of the infamous Al Capone. Artful Eddie was so nicknamed because he was able, with his slick maneuvers, to stay out of jail. He was an attorney, and he would represent Al Capone and ultimately become his associate. Well, then something happened that changed Artful Eddie's way of life and thinking. So much so that Artful Eddie decided to turn on Al Capone and inform on him. And he did. And, of course, society of that day was shocked, and the mob was, of course, angry. He knew that whenever he informed on Al Capone that he would probably end his life, but he had a reason. You see, he had a son born to he and his wife, and he wanted that son's name cleared of the stain of the underworld. And so he turned informant. The mob remembered, and two shotgun blasts later, Artful Eddie's life ended. But his hope worked, for his son's name was cleared, his family's name cleared, and his young son was accepted later into the Naval Academy and went on to be this decorated war hero. So when you fly into O'Hara Airport, you think of Butch O'Hara, the decorated soldier, but I want you to think of Artful Eddie O'Hara, the father who died so that his son would have a chance. As we have been studying the Gospel by John, some of the themes of this story are familiar, but the analogy, of course, is far from perfect. But we've been studying this Gospel. We've studied the themes of choosing death over life. We have learned of dying to give someone else a chance at living. We have talked about removing the stain of the underworld sins by means of sacrifice and death and so on. And now for the last time, I'm going to ask you to turn to the Gospel by John. You never thought I'd say those words. And I'm a sentimental old coot, and I tell you, this is sort of a bittersweet moment for me because I have come to love this Gospel, and I have come to love the Savior that this Gospel provides for us. So would you open one more time to the Gospel by John, chapter 21, just the last few verses, verse 24. I have been reserving these two verses for our conclusion of this study. Wonderful verses. This is the disciple who bears witness of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his witness is true. Now, I want you to stop for a moment. Remember that John, the inspired writer, has put you and me in a very unique position. He has placed us in the jury box. We are all jurors in this trial. And it is up to us to make a decision and to cast our vote. What is John trying to prove as he's placed us, the reader, in the jury box? Well, one last time, look at chapter 20, one page back, and verse 30. John clearly spells out why he has penned this gospel. Many other signs, therefore, Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written, notice this, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. In other words, the trial that we are observing as jurors revolves around Jesus Christ. Is He the Messiah, the Christ? Is He deity, the Son of God? And John will bring witness after witness, supernatural sign after supernatural sign, testimony after testimony, and as you and I sit in our jury box, observing it all, we reach a verdict. Now, in any courtroom proceeding, some of the most important people are the witnesses. We have seen a lot of courtroom scenes over the last several years. They approach the stand, they place their hand on the Bible, and they swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help them God. Now, among the many witnesses that a courtroom proceeding can involve, the most important witness is an eyewitness. Their testimony is the most convincing. Their testimony is the most determinative. Look back at verse 30 of chapter 20 there. John says, "All that I have testified before you are things that," notice, "Jesus performed in the presence of the disciples." John declares, hey, I'm an eyewitness. I was there. I saw it. I heard him. And what I'm testifying is something that I am an eyewitness account of. Now go back to chapter 21, verse 24. And notice again the courtroom lingo that John the Apostle utilizes. "This is the disciple who bears witness of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his witness is true." It's as if he says, "Your Honor, all humanity, I, John, approach the stand to testify before the jurors of humanity that I am an eyewitness, and I am telling the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God." To the mind of John, what was at stake? It would be the profession of faith of all those who sat in the jury box. He is the great evangelist. He is an author with a mission that we come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, one of the most profound verses in John's gospel is the very last verse. "There are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books which were written." Isn't that a great verse? What a way to end it. John says, you think, for all the liberal skeptics and scholars out there, you think I've presented some amazing miracles that you have difficulty believing? Oh, you don't know what I didn't tell you. You think you've heard some amazing teaching from the lips of Jesus Christ? You haven't heard anything. You see, he hasn't given us everything in this, what would not be a comprehensive biography of Christ, but he has given you and I, the jurors, enough to believe what's important to know. And you need to remember that John was very concerned about the written record of his eyewitness accounts. Why? Because he was among the last survivors of the original 12 apostles. Now, Paul, who would write earlier than John here, would talk almost as if everyone knew. He would talk about in 1 Corinthians of the 500 witnesses that had seen the resurrected Christ. And he would even add in that verse in chapter 15, "of whom many of you are still alive." John is writing years later. And although some of them obviously are still alive, a new generation has been born and reared in the first century church. And they've never seen Jesus. They've never heard Jesus. They are like you and me. And he is impassioned to present an eyewitness account so that generations then and now would know the truth that he is indeed God come in the flesh. John declares, here's the testimony. I'm an eyewitness. Look again at verse 25. "If they were," the word "all" could be written there, it's implied, "if they were all written, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books which were written." The point is, John didn't include everything we would have liked to have known, but he included everything we needed to know, to believe, to make our decision, to cast our vote that Jesus is the Christ. And believing the record, point us to that cross. It is the cross that occupies the majority of John's gospel. He, more than any other gospel writer, would spend time on that account. He points us to the cross of Christ, as if to say, that cross can wipe away the stain of the underworld. It can clear your name. It can give you a future, not only here and now, but forever. Marco Polo was the rather famous explorer, Italian explorer in the 3rd century, who traveled to Central Asia and the Far East. He spent 17 years in the Far East. The emperor was taken with Marco Polo, if you have ever read anything of his life, and his daughter were fascinated by this Italian. And so they asked him to stay, and he did. And for 17 years, he was given a bird's eye view of the empires that he had seen. And he came back after 17 years to his homeland. And he would spend the rest of his life writing articles and speaking to anybody who would listen of the wonderful things that he had seen. But he was discredited. No one would believe that these empires existed. He was making all of this up. In fact, the organized church censored him and told him that he was, in effect, lying. He had made these myths up. And Marco Polo died in disgrace. As a 70-year-old man, having finished his volume, The Travels of Marco Polo, which no one would believe, he was lying on his deathbed, and the priests came and they urged him to repent of his lies so that he could receive the last rites when he died. He refused. And the last words that Marco Polo spoke are in history books now. He said to them, quote, "I never told the half of it." So John, the aged apostle, puts down his quill. Maybe he sighs and thinks, oh, the things I haven't told you, the things that I have heard him teach, the things that I saw him do. But if I had all the books in all the world and I could fill them all up, it would only be the beginning. So what I've given under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit will have to do. And those in his generation and for every generation to come and those of us here will cast our vote. John urges that his gospel creates in us a desire to believe, indeed, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And if you have sat in your juror's box and you have heard the evidence, you have seen the writings of John describe the signs and the miracles, you have sat in on the discussions, and perhaps up to this point, you have not yet placed your vote in favor of the Son of God, place your faith and trust in Him alone. I urge you to do that. For any of us here, I don't know how long we have in that juror's box, but I would encourage you to place your vote and trust Christ. Like John, the impassioned evangelist, who declared that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten, unique Son, that whoever believes, places their faith in Him, would not perish, but have the stain of sin wiped away. For those of us who believe, today is a day of worship and remembrance of the one John so clearly defined and so wonderfully illustrated. Father, we thank You for this volume that You included. What a wonderful year and a half it has been to dive into these deep waters, to be immersed by truths that we would never come to truly understand, to hear the gospel presented, to walk with the Son. And we believe that, as John told us, You have given us what we need to know. Thank You, Father, for this record.